will now do a little insertion of some witnesses because, you know, we have to, for the records and for the audience to see that we have what's really going on. And I think we have to... It has been so crazy, like through these 2 years now, that we sometimes seem to forget, like what we used to have, like what we used to think was like the normal way things would be handled, like that you could choose without like deception whether you wanted to have like a medical treatment or whether you wanted to protest against something, like without having to deal with the police and so on. And so we have prepared a, I think it's two videos, and we have two witnesses, one live here with us and another one in the Zoom. And I would like to start to show you what we experienced when we got word from a whistleblower that in an old people's home here in Berlin, there was vaccination was going to go on, like on a Sunday, I think it was. And it was actually the vials were provided by or like accompanied by soldiers. And so the old people were confronted with soldiers, like, working with the doctors to get the vaccine. And one person was not really voluntarily accepting it. I mean, it was like a dementia a section of this old people's home. And some of them obviously were not quite able to sign the papers themselves, clearly. But you have to still like respect like a natural will kind of that they express whether they wanted to be treated or not. So we're going to see that. And so we had one whistleblower verbally telling us about this this incident, and what happened afterwards. That was that of these 31 people who got vaccinated, 8 passed away rather quickly after the vaccination, like within a few weeks. And I think the last person who died was like 2 or 3 months later. And they were really in good shape. It was
before the vaccination.
Before the vaccination. So it was a section where they would freely roam, basically. And some were jogging every day. One was a piano player. And so, they had like singing songs the night before, basically, and then already on the evening, some of them had serious problems. And what's also interesting about this is that later on we got in touch with the police, and I personally filed like a criminal charge or complaint against the and asked them, because there was like of the two people who deceased like at the latest in time, the corpses were still like with the undertaker. So we informed the police and said that they should investigate this, and the district attorney, and then they sent us a letter and saying they don't even see like anything suspicious where they could start investigating. You know, that's very, I think, very remarkable. And so after we had done this whistleblower interview, a second whistleblower came forward and provided some footage that you can see now. And for you to see this, you have to turn to the stream. Take a look at the stream.
This is to illustrate what we're really talking about, because we have tonight, we have been talking about the run-up to what is actually happening. And now we're looking at the consequences, because I do think it is important for us and for the jury to understand that we're not just talking about irrelevant games that are being played, power games, but that these games have very serious consequences. And that is what this video clip very clearly illustrates. So this shows that when you, Brian, said that they're killing people, they're not killing people in theory, they're killing people in real life. One of the people who we saw in this video, which was filmed with a hidden camera, died. The old man in the pajamas died. So this is what this is all about. There are real consequences as a result of these so-called power games. This is really about control, and this is really about population reduction, as I think this short video clip clearly illustrates. And this is just one example. There are many more such examples. We have gotten lots of information from similar nursing homes where the same thing happened. This is particularly impressive for us because it's right here in Berlin. 31 people were vaccinated, and within 2 weeks or so, 8 of them had passed away. 11 more had developed very serious symptoms. We don't know what happened to them. But these 8 people who died, one of them, as Vivian mentioned, had been playing the piano the night before he got the shots. Another one was a runner, and he was running the night before he got the shots. This is what we're really talking about.
Now we have another... Now we have another video clip that we're going to see. It's from a little small demonstration, like a vigil, basically, that took place for, I think it was, the witness is going to tell us in a second, for like several days, 62 days. And this was like the final, basically the final day where it was supposed to be like a little get together there. But it was a small event, and you'll be surprised by the amount of police compared to the size of the event that you're going to see, and how harshly then they sort of ended it. I think we show the clip first, and then we're going to talk to Roman Masinov.
Unsere Kinder haben kein Schutzschild. Unsere Kinder haben nur uns. Und
Achtung, Achtung! Hier spricht die Polizei.
Bitte vergib ihm, wie jemand, der gerade Durchsage macht. Lieber Herr, bitte vergib ihm ihre unendliche Schuld. Vergib ihm ihre materialistische Geilheit. Vergib ihm, was sie ihre Hausrate sehen. Vergib ihm.
Das bedeutet, Ihre Versammlung ist hiermit beendet. Entfernen Sie sich in Richtung Hauptbahnhof. Ich wiederhole, aufgrund der Nichteinhaltung der Hygienemaßnahmen.
Yeah, you can see how out of proportion this is for what's going on. And there was not even like hygienic aspects like violated. And I mean, like in earlier times, we would have thought this is a normal event. And so, but maybe let's just talk to Roman Masinov. Hello?
Roman, what happened there?
Ich höre euch. Ich kann nicht so gut Englisch, also ich muss...
speak English so well, so I'll have to speak in German. Good. Let us just briefly talk about it and I'll translate. In a few words, can you tell us you had done this demonstration 60 times and then it ended that way?
Exactly. I had held a vigil in the front of the Chancellor's office because demonstrations weren't possible in Berlin anymore because we always, it always escalated in police violence. It always ended in police violence. And so I organized a vigil because with a few people right outside the Chancellor's office, the police can't overreach as easily, and we did that over a period of more than 2 months, and very frequently there were media with us, and they left and right to us And they never reported on us. They were just there because there were something happening at the chancellor's office. One of us had registered with the chancellor's office, and the last day, the 1st of June, was the World Children's Day. We resisted there. We did not put on masks. That's the least level of resistance you can offer. And of course, it escalated, and our assembly was disbanded.
Okay, ich übersetze das mal kurz zurück. Nach zwei Monaten der Mahnwache, in einer Zeit, wo es eigentlich gar keine größeren Demonstrationen geben durfte, war das ein Protest gegen die.
You know, also going in the direction of the children, and actually, there was a lot of media usually there, but they never reported about this demonstration because they obviously wanted to keep it under the rug or not talk about this. And then the only thing that was not complied with was that. Outside, you'd have to wear masks, although people were keeping their distance. And so you can see that the police immediately decided to even kill this small demonstration or this small protest at that point in time. So Roman, thank you very much for your statement and for sharing this experience with us.